Love is patient. Love is kind. These are words that are probably some of the most well-known words of Scripture because they are so often read at weddings, right? Raise your hand if you have these words read at your wedding. Lots of us did. Yes. Well, they are beautiful words, and when I often preach at weddings, I feel like I'm kind of out in a mission field because there are a lot of people who come to a wedding that don't normally go to church. Some people get a little bit tired of hearing these words over and over again, but I think they're great. They're very poetic and beautiful, and they're also very true. But I think hearing this passage and living it are kind of like watching the Olympics for me. When I watch the Olympics, I see people who have trained for years and to do this and are the best in the world. But don't they make it look so easy? Look at these figure skaters. She's just twirling in the air like it's nothing and, you know, with these great smiles on their face, looking very relaxed. The skiers shred down those hills, you know, really gracefully and quickly and just make it look like nothing. And then there are the gymnasts who I see flying around. We see Gabby Douglas here, who won lots of medals at the last Olympics, and they just make it look like anybody could do it. But that's not really true, is it? I think that marriage can kind of seem that way too. When we're standing up in front of people or when we're at a wedding and we look at the bride and groom, the wedding party, everything looks so nice and it just seems like this thing is going to be so easy. Loving somebody, committing to somebody is going to be so easy. You're standing up there, you've got a giant party planned, all the people you love are there, you're going to get lots of presents. It's a good day. 1 Corinthians says, "Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love." Well, if we love somebody, it should be easy, shouldn't it? But just like figure skating or downhill skiing or the uneven bars, love can be a little bit dangerous and take a lot of practice and a lot of work. Even as love excites us, it challenges us. Even as beautiful as it is, it can also hurt us sometimes. Love means taking a risk. Love is not all beautiful dresses and presents and flowers. The Bible says love is patient and kind. But remember, that passage also tells us that love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone, and I think the same is true for love. As I was writing my sermon this week at Colectivo, as you know I like to do, a man and a woman came in, and he was walking a little bit ahead of her, and she was kind of shuffling along behind, holding on to his arm. I couldn't tell if she was blind or not, but she definitely would not have been able to walk through the store without his help. She held on to him, and he guided her. He slowed his life down a little bit to help somebody that he loved and cared about. I couldn't tell if they were mother-son or if they were husband and wife, but I could see love and trust in action. He led and she let him. Just as we have to learn how to give love to others and to help them, we also have to learn how to receive love and how to let others love and help us. And sometimes that can be an even bigger challenge. Love is a great joy, but it's also a great commitment. This is Fred Danker, and some of you maybe have heard me talk about him before. He wrote this book, which I wish I had the actual book. It's about this thick. It's a dictionary of all the Greek words in the Bible, and he translated those words. He worked for, like, decades on this, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, translating Greek in the Bible. And he is responsible for some pretty amazing discoveries, including the passage where Jesus is, the Pilate is asking the crowd, should they crucify him? And it says the Jews call for Jesus to be crucified. He figured out it's not actually Jews that we're calling, it's Judeans, people of Judea, not the Jewish people. So that helped take a lot of the burden off and blame off Jewish people that had been on the first centuries. So he's kind of a big deal. He was a member of my church that I was at on internship, and what I remember most about him from that is his attentiveness to his wife, who was very elderly and was in a motorized scooter wheelchair. He loved her so much, and it was such an example to me. He cared for her every week, made sure she got to church. He helped her put on her little headscarf. And he was just so gentle and loving with her. And what a great accomplishment that is as well. Last week, I was visiting my parents, and they had to put their dog, Lily, to sleep. This is a picture of Lily with my son, Bennett, when he was a baby. And dogs can be pretty great at showing us love, can't they? And so can kids. My nephew, Mateo, called my mom and to tell her how sorry he was about them having to put Lily to sleep. And he said, when you get home from Arizona, I want to take you to the pet shelter and buy you a new dog with my own money. Kids really have a knack for showing us true love. Jesus also shows us true love and the risks that true love can take. When Jesus was baptized, you know, it was a great day. God called him his beloved son. And then immediately after that, he's driven out into the wilderness. He's tempted for 40 days. He can't eat. Then last week, we heard about Jesus going to his hometown and being almost thrown off a cliff, being rejected. Love requires risks, dangers, and sacrifices. Sometimes it requires us to make unpopular decisions, too. When we see the price of love, we're tempted to make excuses sometimes to help us not have to do those hard things. We say, I can't do it. It's just too hard. I don't want to rock the boat. That's not my job. And on and on and on. We don't want to take those risks. But our excuses are not a new thing. They're not exclusive to our culture or to our time. God has been hearing our excuses since the beginning. Do you remember that reading we heard from the prophet Jeremiah? God calls him to be his prophet, and Jeremiah says, I am too young. I'm only a boy. Or you can translate it as, I'm only a teenager. He says, I can't do it, but God says, I will be with you. And I will give you the words. And then some of you may remember Moses, the call of Moses. He had a whole list of excuses. I am not qualified. Nobody knows who I am. I don't know enough, God. I don't even know what your name is. People won't believe me, he thought. I'm not eloquent. And then finally he said to God, please just send someone else. But God had answers for all of his excuses, and still used Moses to do his work. God is used to hearing our excuses. God's will for the world will be done even with all our shortcomings. We fail to love each other, and others may fail to love us too. Our hearts may get broken. We may be unpopular or have to make decisions that are unpopular. But God is with us through it all. When he rose from the dead, Jesus pretty much wiped out all our excuses and our weaknesses. He said, it doesn't matter. I've redeemed you. You are coming with me, and it's going to be great. You are so loved that even death won't stop us from being together. Jesus showed us that love that truly bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. He endured suffering on the cross to bring us hope. He resisted temptation. God called Jeremiah the young boy and Moses, who was actually a murderer, you may not have known, to share God's word. And God calls each of us, with our excuses and all, to share his love and his light in the world today. So take a minute now to have a quiet prayer and to thank God for being the greatest example of love in our lives, and to ask God to help you set aside your excuses so that you can share that great love with the world. Amen.